Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Today, we are starting a new series called Letters to the Church. All right, so what we're doing for this series, Letters to the Church, is we are looking at some different letters in the New Testament that were written to the church. All right, so we're gonna do some highlights from some different New Testament books of the Bible that are also known as letters, all right? And so we're just really, what we're doing, if I'm being honest with you, is it the series is called Letters to the Church, but what we're doing is we are just spending this next month looking at anything and everything in the New Testament that has to do with God's heart for his church and what is he wanting to do in us. So that's the direction that we're headed. Today, we are actually going to be in one of my favorite books in the New Testament. We're going to be in the book of Romans. And I'm going to give you some highlights from the book of Romans. Okay, these are just some of my favorites. When I was in Bible college, the book of Romans, that class that I took, was my absolute favorite. I loved Romans. I was obsessed with it. And I love that it's really like all about God's grace. And I think that that is something that we all really struggle with. I think that we struggle to accept God's grace toward us. And I think sometimes we struggle to show God's grace for other people. So grace, it sounds easy, but I think for some reason we make it a little complicated. And so today we're gonna start with Romans 5. And we're going to look at verses 3 to 5. Actually, we'll start in verse 2. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there and follow along with me. Like I said, we're going to be in this book of Romans today, and we'll just be flipping around it a little bit. So it's kind of fun. I have here the ESV translation, but some of what I'm going to be sharing today is also the Amplified and the Message translation. So Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Through him," that's Jesus, "we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The highlight for me from this is consistency and perseverance. Consistency and perseverance. And so in our lives as followers of Jesus, one of the keys is consistency and perseverance. It's not giving up. It's not giving up. And you know what? Giving up is very easy to do. It's very easy. I can't tell you how many things I have started to do, and I'm like, I give up. This is too hard. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. Just the other day, I was helping Kaya with a sewing project, and I was like, I give up. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. I cannot. We need help from someone else because I don't know what to do. And so giving up, man, it's very easy. But in the Christian walk, here's the thing. Jesus is asking us to not give up, not to lose hope. The Message translation says there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. But you can't give up. That's the thing. You can't give up. And so that's why most of what we spend our time talking about here at church is being consistent with reading our Bible every day. And, you know, meeting with somebody else that also loves Jesus so that you can encourage them in their faith or they can encourage you in your faith. And why we say, you know what? Show up to that worship and dinner and prayer night. Like, engage in what God's doing. Be consistent about it because that's where real transformation happens. The best example I can give has to do with going to the gym or working out. And I can say this because I am the most inconsistent gym person. I've only done it a few times in my life, actually, where I've gone on a treadmill. In fact, usually when I go on a treadmill, actually, to tell you the truth, I have gone with friends to the gym to work out, and I sit down beside them and read a magazine while they're on the treadmill. I have done this more than once in my life. I confess that, okay? So that's about how committed I am to working out and the idea of it. Now, I know in my head that it's good and important. I know it. I know that I really need to, at my age, I need to start doing like small weights. Like it would be good for me, like for health. Like I know that in my head. And I have these little weights. I got them for Christmas last year. I have them in my closet. But I'm so inconsistent about actually using them that it makes no improvement on my life whatsoever. Having them, I look at them. Once in a while, I make a big deal about getting them out and showing everybody, look, I've got the weights out, you know. And it does nothing because doing that once every 3 months or 2 months or once a month does nothing for me. And I cannot expect those weights to transform my life if I don't actually use them consistently. And I think that that's what kind of is the biggest gap between us and the transformation that we want in our lives is consistency and perseverance. And I'm saying that as a person that struggles with it. Like I do. I see where some things are easier for me than others, but the areas in my life where I have chosen to be consistent, even when it's difficult, that's where I have freedom, that's where I thrive, that's where I see the transformation that I'm hoping for. And so the same is true for our lives. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit at work in us, but I think we have to show up and be available. You know, it doesn't matter what equipment you have. Like I said, I can have the weights to work out. Holy Spirit is available to us. This scripture, the Bible, has a lot of truth all throughout these pages. But if we don't participate with that, and if we're not participating consistently, it's not going to transform us. But God is up to something new. He wants to do something new in our lives. He's wanting to transform us. He's excited about it. And so he's like, come on, don't give up. Don't give up. Let's have some joy when we're suffering. Let's recognize that this pain, right? Even the pain when you're working out, you know that it's producing muscle and strength. So you work through that pain because you know that it's worth it for something good on the other side. I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched any of the Olympics over the past, is it just been a week or two? I don't know. It's probably only been a week. But over this past however many days that we've had these Olympics, these athletes do some amazing things. Like, it's incredible. I've seen the gymnasts just jump through the air and do twists and things. And I see the swimmers. They can just go swimming back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I would be exhausted. I can't even swim one lap, you know, and they're just incredible. But they didn't get there by being inconsistent. You don't get to the Olympic level, and you certainly don't get an Olympic gold medal by by being inconsistent. It's not just, oh, these are great athletes naturally. No, I mean, sure, they are athletic people. Sure, that's fair. But they are consistent and they persevere and they work through the pain and through the trials. So this is a big one for us. And I would say, let's ask God, what is it that you're doing where I feel pressed? I feel crushed. I feel uncomfortable. It's hard for me to keep doing. What is that thing? God, what are you doing inside of me? What are you wanting to do inside of me? God, where are you wanting me to be more consistent? These are the questions that I ask myself as I read this scripture, God. What are you wanting to see from me? Where can I be more consistent? Because I know that this is going to produce good fruit in our lives, because we can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God wants to generously pour into our lives through the Holy Spirit. He wants to just surprise you with how good he is. The next one I want to look at is Romans 6, verse 15. And it says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from the sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And so this is another really big key to the book of Romans. It's like what you say yes to is what strengthens its power over your life. What you keep saying yes to. So it could be saying yes to good things, and it could be saying yes to bad things. But the more that you keep saying yes to it, the more that it strengthens its hold in your life, the more significant it becomes. So the saying, okay, if you offer yourselves to sin, you become no longer free. Now you're feeling trapped. And I think that we can all kind of attest to that, where we have felt kind of stuck. And if we choose to say yes to righteousness, this little bit, this is what I would say, a little yes. It's a little victory. It's not a big thing, but it's a small yes. And then you keep on saying yes. Then what you will find is that you have more and more and more freedom in your life. I don't think that it's, for a lot of us, it's this huge thing that happens overnight. I think it's little choices day by day, where when you have the choice to live free or to live trapped, you go, I know that this one is gonna bring me freedom, like permanent freedom, eternal freedom. This is what's gonna free my soul. So the scripture is saying what you think is free, right? Because we would think sin is we could just do whatever we want. Right? The idea is it sounds free. It sounds great. Like, oh, I'll just, you know, whatever I feel like, I'll do. It sounds very free, but he's like, no, that's actually a dead end in your life. And it actually doesn't bring freedom. So make those choices that really bring freedom, right? We can see this in our own lives, in even the exercise, right? If I were to actually lift the weights consistently, then I would be a lot stronger. And you know what that would do? Bring me more freedom in my life, because now I have greater physical strength to be able to do things throughout the day. You see, so it produces, although it's painful for the moment, it produces greater freedom in the long run. So it's like he's like, flip the script. He's like, look at freedom in a different way, because you're gonna be serving something. Do you want to serve sin or do you want to serve righteousness? You know, like what do you want? Because he's like, what looks like freedom is not really freedom for you. And I don't know about you, but I want to be completely free. You know, like, and I see the areas where I'm not free. And I'm like, God, I want to be completely free. And that's what I feel like this journey with God, and why I love Romans so much, is I feel like the journey for following Jesus is learning how to live completely free the way that God intended it. And sin is all about trapping us in our minds and our hearts and making us insecure and making us doubt God's goodness and distract us. And what God is all about is bringing us freedom. And so it's a really big deal. So Romans 6, verse 15. That's, make a note for that one. I'd rather be a slave to righteousness. And then that verse 22, I have to read this, okay? Because there's fruit that comes. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a very good verse, and that's one that we must never, ever forget, okay? The free gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. Nothing that we can do to earn it. And so if we can always remember this verse, this is a good verse for the church to share with each other and to share with people outside of the church. It is a free gift, all right? I'm grateful for that gift. And then I want to go to Romans 8. Are you guys still with me? Am I giving you too many things? I promise next week we'll just do one passage and we'll hang out there, but I just wanted to give you guys a few highlights of Romans 8, or the whole book. So now we're in Romans 8. All right, and we're going to go to verse, there's so many I want to do. Verse 26, we're going to do that one right now. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. This part of Romans 8 is about the future glory and about the fact that the Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us. It's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we talk about this sometimes, you know, God is Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And sometimes we forget about the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our convictor. He's our guide. And I love that it says he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's when you do not know what words to pray, but your spirit is praying those things. I would say that is where I started having my heavenly language, where I would pray before the Lord, and it wasn't, my words just didn't seem like enough to communicate what I was sensing inside of me. And so I could just say this, my words failed me, and I feel like the Holy Spirit intercedes through us, through our prayer language. It's us kind of aligning our hearts with his and saying, God, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm praying your kingdom come, your will be done. And the Holy Spirit interceding for us, wow, that's amazing. Because have you ever prayed for somebody that you care about? Like you want something good to happen for them? Maybe somebody's sick. Maybe somebody's lost. Somebody's hurting. Does anybody in the room have a hurting, lost family member? Yes, okay. We probably all do. We probably do. And to know that the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf, that the Holy Spirit cares about them, the situation, us, more than we do. That is a freeing thing, and that is one of the reasons why I love the book of Romans, because it reminds me, oh wait, I'm not in this on my own. I'm not here having to beg God to intervene. You know, I come to him and I pray to him because he's a relational God. He wants relationship with us, but I don't have to beg him to do something. Like, he's excited to move. Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He wants our freedom even more than we do, right? Like, he wants the freedom of our loved ones. He wants their healing. He's interceding according to the will of God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have this tendency on my own to start to pray my will a little bit, because I start to think about what could be good and like the path that God should take to fix things in somebody's life. And whenever I do that, whenever I catch myself doing that, I go, no, not my will, God, but your will be done, because I know that your plans are perfect. Your ways are better. Your thoughts are better. And God's way of doing stuff is much better than our way. And so this practice of recognizing Holy Spirit's role in our lives, that he helps us in our weakness, he intercedes for us, he wants to guide us, and then how much we need to be daily reliant on Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And I want to look at, I think I just have one or two left for you guys, okay? I'm going to do Romans 8, 31 to 39. All right, this is God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. We're reminded again. We're being interceded for, okay? We've got somebody praying for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. These last few verses, you should read them every day or once a week. Read them regularly. Read them when you're discouraged. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I might not feel like I'm conquering this thing right now, but I know my identity. I'm a new creation in Christ, so I am a conqueror. He loves us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Do you understand what this means for us as believers? It's a position that we have, and it actually causes us not to fear all the things that we see around us with our eyes, because this covers literally everything. Death, life, the things we see, the things we don't see, you know, that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. And now I am one who believes that we can choose to walk away from God ourselves, okay? So hear me on this. I do believe that if you decide, never mind, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore, I want to live my own way, I believe you can choose to walk away from him if you want. But I believe that nobody else, nothing except me, you get what I'm saying? Like, I can choose something different, but God is relentless in his pursuit of us. God loves us with an everlasting love, and we do not have to fear. It says terror by night, right? Or all the things by day. Okay, we don't have to be afraid of anything, because none of that can separate us from God and his love for us. Nothing and no one can get in the way of God's plan for your life. We do not have to fear. So, like, we're in an election year, right, in the United States. That's very exciting for some people, very stressful for others, right? It's probably stressful for everyone. But it's like a lot of people feel very fearful and polarized. And they feel like if one person becomes president, the world will end. And other people feel like if the other person becomes president, the world will end. And the truth of it is, either one of the presidents or either one of the people becoming president could have some good and some bad for everybody, right? There's positive and negative impacts. These are people, right? And, you know, we don't know what the world will be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. We don't know. But we don't have to fear, because our trust and our faith is not in the government. It's not in other people and policies and all of that. Our trust is in God. And when we know positionally our identity with Jesus, then I don't have to worry about all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't vote. Like, vote whatever you feel. Like, that's great. But, like, you don't have to worry about it. It takes the stress off. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, you don't answer to the government. You don't, you answer to God. Like, God is the one who is in charge of your life. He will provide for all the things that you need. He will make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way at all. And he's done this over and over in my life. And I understand the practical nature of living in this world. I do. I get it. It's stressful if your taxes go up. It's stressful. Like, I understand the realities of living in this earth. I'm not, like, immune to it. But what I'm saying is, we answer to a higher authority, and there is nothing that is going to separate you from God's love for you. There is nothing that is going to separate you from God's plan for you. Like, let's just lean in to God and his plan for us. Let's just trust his grace. Let's just allow God's Holy Spirit to work in our lives and trust that he is interceding on our behalf. And it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside or what we see with our eyes. Like I said last week, we want to see with God's eyes, with his heart, and recognize, like, what God wants to happen in your life will happen. It's going to happen. It might not look like it right now, but it's going to happen. There is not a promise from God empty of power, right? He will accomplish what he intends to accomplish in your life. And one of the greatest examples of that in the Bible is with the life of Joseph. Joseph, you know, had this dream, and he knew that there was this promise that God had on his life. He saw the dream. It was like his brothers were bowing down to him, and he was like, whoa, you know, I'm going to be amazing. I'm going to be a great ruler. His brothers were very jealous, right? And his brothers were like, we're going to kill you. And then they decided, well, we'll just sell him into slavery. He ended up having a whole lot of problems, this guy, Joseph, right? He ended up in prison. But ultimately, he ended up in a palace, second only to the king, right? Second to Pharaoh. And he ended up saving not just one nation, but many nations through a famine. And his brothers ended up coming to him and wanting food. And he went, whoa, what you meant for evil, God used for good. Not just in my life, but in others' lives. That is an example of God's great power and the fact that nothing can separate us from God's love, and that nothing can separate us from God's plan and his purpose being fulfilled in our lives. His brothers thought they had ended it. This guy's going to be nothing. Didn't happen like that, because that was merely development in his life, and God used it for good to develop him in the pressing and the crushing, making new wine that was going to be so fruitful in so many people's lives. So let's try to position ourselves this week like that, with that attitude and that posture of, God, I don't like the pressing or the crushing. I don't like the uncomfortable, but I'm committed to whatever it is that you want to do. I want to be consistent. I want to persevere. Because I think that if we would see the greatness of what God has for us, the freedom that is possible, the fruit that's possible, then we would persevere. If you can see it, I think that the Olympians that win the gold medal, I think they can see it. Like they see it before they see it. And they know it's possible. And so that's why they persevere. That's why they get up at 3 a.m. every day and train. And that's why they eat the way they do. And that's why they do what they do. Because they can see it. They believe that it's possible. And what I'm telling you is what's possible with God is that you will have freedom in your heart and your soul. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have so many good things in your family, in your life, and in your influence because of what Jesus is wanting to do in your life. So let's be okay with the uncomfortable, knowing that God's producing good stuff in us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.